America Weekend.
Hola. Hola, I want you to meet my associate and partner, Mr. Leo Blum.
Good dog poor day.
I beg your pardon?
Good dog poor day.
Oh, good on. Max, have you gone mad? A receptionist that can't speak English? What will people say?
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalegi. My next guest has been seen in screen hits such as The Producers and The Sunshine Boys. She's appeared in over a dozen films as well as appearances on TV and in commercials. It is a pleasure to say hello to Lee Meredith. Lee, welcome to the show.
Good dog for days. Thank you, Ed. Oh, I don't even know if they say that anymore.
I don't know. But the ironic thing is, as listeners know, they have just heard that because that is the clip that we played leading into this interview. So that was perfect. See that?
Oh, funny.
Talk about synergy. That was terrific.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that character was so much fun. I was 19 when I did that movie.
Right, wow.
And I believe you were born about that year.
I think I was born that year. 67, yes.
Yeah.
See?
So, I didn't really even know who Zira Mostel was,
mm-hmm.
who Gene Wilder was. I had no idea, because I had just gotten out of school. I was at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts in New York, and after graduation, Laurie Nodo. Have you heard of him?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, he produced The Fantastic. He came to one of the shows at school, and he picked me out of the chorus in Carousel, and he sent me up to Mel Brooks, and I learned the accent like overnight in the library here in River Edge.
Yeah.
So it was quite an experience. I think if it was when I was older, it would have been kind of scary. But
you were too young. It's like the whole thing just grabbed you. Now, how long was it from when you first got cast? You go up, you meet Mel Brooks. He decides you will be Ula. So how long was it from when you met Mel, you got the part, until they shot? So how long did that whole thing take?
Well, it took about 2 weeks before they decided on me.
Mm-hmm.
And because I had a few interviews, I had to go back, and I had to dance, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
It took a little while, but he knew exactly what he wanted. You know, we had the reading, and because Mel Brooks was like a perfectionist.
Oh, sure.
he knew everything, and it didn't take that long. You know, he was incredible, as always.
It's amazing how that movie has endured over the years. I mean, there's been the remake, there's been the Broadway show, but that original still endures in such a certain way and a certain level. And to be able to work with somebody of that caliber just coming right out of school, and it's such a young age, that's got to be an amazing feeling.
It really was, and I was supposed to be introduced, but when it came right down to it, there were so many people that were new. It
right.
was their first movie. I mean, Gene Wilder, that was his first major
yeah.
movie. And so they couldn't very well introduce me and not have everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he was such a nice guy, too.
We fast forward to 1975. There you are in The Sunshine Boys, and you're on screen with Walter Matthau. I mean, you're not dealing with B-level people here. I mean, when you're in a film, you're acting side-by-side with huge, major players in Hollywood. Tell me what that was like.
Oh, you know, he was like a dad-type figure,
mm-hmm.
Walter Matthau. He's just so sweet. We had the I think he used to read. He used to have his scripts given to his son to read before he would okay them.
You know, really,
he was just such a nice family type person. We opened in Radio City Music Hall,
mm-hmm.
and he was there with me. And it was funny because Neil Simon was supposed to be the speaker that night, and he was late. And so they said, Lee, come on out, be the speaker. I went, oh, no. I mean, there's like thousands of people there. So, but Walter Matthau, he was right there and very comforting. Really sweet guy.
You've worked with a ton of huge names. I mean, you go through your IMDb. You were on the Jack Benny Show, like in 1958.
No, I was a little kid then.
I know.
Benny Hill.
Jackie Gleason you've worked with?
Jackie Gleason.
Wow.
Yeah. He was a little different.
Yeah, I can imagine.
He didn't come to rehearsals. He
wow.
showed up at the last minute, and he knew everything.
Yeah.
He was brilliant.
So no blocking or anything? I mean, no, like, rehearsal as to where Jackie's going to stand? So
nope.
It's, wow. That's got to be nerve-wracking to do that
it
as
was.
A performer.
It
wow.
was. And Art Carney was there, and he was just the opposite. He was always there. You realize with comedy, I remember sitting there with Neil Simon while we were in rehearsals for the show. I did the Broadway show first. And he was telling me, he said, you know, I'm going to cut this laugh and I'm going to cut that one because if I keep that in, it messes up the next one that's coming up. Timing was so perfect. And that's why when you do a show like that, you have to have everything exact. He's the best.
Now we move over to TV, and what jumps out at me, and I didn't realize this was you until I started doing the research, then it was, hey, that's Lee as well. Your role in a series of extremely popular commercials through the early to mid-80s. You were Mickey Spillane's girlfriend in the light beer commercials. Bob Uecker, Rodney Dangerfield. That must have been quite a time.
Yes, and most of the time I was going, oh, Mickey. And what happened was they sent us all over the country doing personal appearances. Mm-hmm. So I was one of the guys. We were called All Stars, and I'd be out like 200 days out of the year.
Wow!
You know? And you know, I did all kinds of like tugs of war. We go to the bars. We, you know, I didn't really drink, but I had to make it look like I was. But Mickey Spillane was the best, most wonderful friend, and we had a great time. And then I became involved in Lee Strings. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know about Lee Strings.
I remember, in doing the research, I remember watching a piece that you did on PM Magazine.
Yes.
And you talked all about your Lee Strings. Tell us a little about that.
Well, I was doing some burlesque shows as the comedian with Red Buttons, Sid Caesar, and Imogen Coco. You know, and we'd shoot it for HBO, and then we'd travel around the country doing the show. And I learned about how comfortable and how important G-strings were with the strippers.
Mm-hmm.
So I started making them when I got invited to the Regis Philbin show.
Mm-hmm.
And they had all different themes to them for the kitchen, camouflage. And I made a whole comedy routine out of them. So they were a little before their time. But Mickey did the poster with me.
Okay.
In front of his Jaguar. He got a Jaguar from John Wayne as a gift.
That's a nice gift. That's very nice. It's amazing how you were able to perfect this certain character, and you were able to portray it in commercials and movies and stuff like that, almost like a Marilyn Monroe-esque like character, and it served you so well.
Yeah, and you know, I think if it was nowadays, it would be a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
People would frown on it but it was like a joke, you know.
Oh, sure.
I was making fun of myself, and you know, things have changed so much. Even when you see the producers, they updated.
That's
Ula.
Right.
Ula
That's right.
Is no longer that innocent, you know, sexy.
Yes. And the world continues to change around us. Well, let's move to today. You told me in an email the other day that your passion in life is trap, neuter, and release, something you've been involved with for over 21 years.
21
tell me,
years.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Well, actually, this is a good time to mention that because kitten season's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And I started out in Vanson Park. I've trapped maybe 120 cats, and I have them spayed and neutered, and then they get put back, not there anymore. I mean, this was years ago, but different places, and then people take care of them. But if you don't spay and neuter, they'll keep reproducing, and then somebody will pick them up and have them put to sleep, and
right. It's
horrible. So by doing this, you know, it's helping the environment, it's helping the cats, and this is something that I try to help people do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they can get traps, I try to explain it to them, and I do it for a lot of people, too.
It's very worthwhile.
Yes,
and it's something that really needs to be done. Vanson Park, for those listening out of the New York City area, it's a park about 10 miles outside of New York City, and they have this wonderful carousel in the park. I've taken my son there. So the next time I go there and I see someone trying to set up traps for cats, I will know, hey, that's Lee Meredith over there.
If you look at a lot of the actors, a lot of the blonde actresses,
yes,
a lot of them have gone into working with animals.
That's true, when you really think about it.
And
that's right.
I think some of it was the bleach went to our brain. I thought of that. I mean, there's Bridget Bardot, Tippi Hedren, Betty White, Pamela Anderson.
So it's a prerequisite, I would imagine. So if you go blonde, you have to be animal-friendly later on in your career and or life. So. See?
Oh, you know where I'm going soon?
Where?
Have you ever heard of Chiller Theater?
Yes.
Yeah, I've done that a few times.
Really?
Yeah, that's really a fun place to go.
I would imagine that. That must be tons of fun.
Yeah, lots of actors that have been, you know, been around for years.
Right.
and they have autographs, and it's some wild costumes.
That's terrific.
Yes, I think the end of April sometime.
Now, you also mentioned the other passion in your life, your grandchildren. So that must keep you quite occupied at this point, too, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I just saw them last night. They're twins. I have 2-year-old twins. And they're both totally different and just so much fun. My other daughter is expecting one on the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
So we have two girls, and then we're going to have another boy. So it's really, really exciting.
You are firmly entrenched in the occupation of being a grandmother now, and that is a very good thing. Good for you.
The sexy grandmother.
Well, there you go. You know what? If you're going to have a grandmother, you might as well have a sexy grandmother. That's what I always say.
Yeah.
Well, Lee Meredith, continued success. Good luck, and thank you so much for joining us here on America Weekend. You are so welcome. You take care of yourself.
You too.
Stay with us. I'm Ed Kalenge. This is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This left winger ranks in the top 10 all time in playoff goals. And since his vicious cheap shot on Chris Draper, he's known as one of the most hated NHL players of all time.
Penalty is going to be called. Review again. Thick. Hit him right from behind and jammed him right into the board. And it was a rotten shot right from behind.
So where is Claude Lemieux now? Claude popped up on TV in 2007, appearing in the second season of the Spike TV show Pros vs. Joes. Claude competed on the CBC television figure skating show Battle of the Blades, even singing on the track he skated to. Hard to believe that's the same guy who used to put people in the hospital. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Call now, 888-759-MYTV.
Order in the court.
This is Attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. Two county roads run parallel to each other with a small strip of privately owned land between them. A deer hunter on one road shoots at a deer standing on the other. The landowner of the small strip separating the two roads sees this through his binoculars from a mile away. He calls the cops and the hunter is arrested. Even though hunting is legal, he has a license, and he missed the deer. What was the hunter charged with? The final verdict after this.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Firing a shot across someone's land, even if the bullet doesn't touch anything, is violating airspace, which is trespassing. And that's the final verdict.